Hello, friends. John here with The End of Effort. Today, I wanted to just share a little bit of my heart on the subject surrounding what happens when something hits us out of the blue that we weren't expecting. What happens when a challenge or an adversity comes out of nowhere? You know, when I think about this over the years, as it pertains to Amy and I can think of quite a few instances where things have just hit us out of left field. They've come out of nowhere and you're like, okay, what is this? I wasn't expecting this at all. It could be anything from mild to severe. Some of you have gone through some real challenges this last year or two or 10. Specifically though, since this pandemic happened, whatever you want to call it, COVID, there's been a lot of challenges for people. I say, looking back over this last year, it really caused some things to come to the surface in our own soul, if we're honest about it. There's a lot of good, bad, ugly, and indifferent that we can see in our own mirror when it pertains to things that pressure causes to come to the surface. So when you apply pressure or you apply adversity or challenge or difficulty, oftentimes the colors of our soul begin to reveal themselves, pushed out through the skin or shell, if you will, of our existence. And it can be tough seeing those things because you, first of all, you think you dealt with it years ago, right? If it's some kind of attitude or anger, angst, anxiety, fear, and a whole host of other things. Those things are pushed to the surface when pressure is applied. We know that. We understand that, right? It's, Jesus himself said, count it all joy when you encounter all various trials, all kinds of issues that come up. Well, that's easier said than done for a lot of us. Count it all joy. But why Jesus was saying that is because he is coming from the realm of non-resistance. And non-resistance is the very substance of love. So I'm going to talk more about non-resistance and resistance, and I have in the past, but we're going to talk a lot more about that as it pertains to living from a place of effortless flow. We can have that existence. Amy and I have tasted this. We've walked it. We're growing in it. We're maturing in it just like anyone else. But we found something very special in this. And the only way we can put it is, when you're looking at resistance versus non-resistance. Okay, let's take a look at that a little more. Picture your artery, okay? You've seen the picture or a video of an artery and blockage that happens in an artery. So what do? They go in, the doctors put a stent in so that it can sort of a tent kind of thing that builds up and holds the flow open so that the blood can pump through. If you have blockage, obviously bad things can happen. Strokes, heart attacks, and the rest. So when you're looking at resistance versus non-resistance, think of it as a blockage in an artery. And there's many more examples we can give, but this is just what's coming to mind. Probably because I'm writing a book about this very thing called Effortless Provision. But anyway, when the blood pumps through the artery unobstructed, that is a non-resistant flow. That's what we're talking about. When you have any kind of blockage, any kind of buildup, then it begins to resist the flow that was meant to happen naturally. Everything, look at it this way, everything in life flows downhill from the throne of God, from heaven into earth. So picture a waterfall, picture little tiny springs in the mountains turning into creeks and then rivers and then into the ocean. It flows downhill, if you will. So keep that in mind when I'm talking about resistance versus non-resistance. Resistance, spiritually speaking, means that I'm trying to fight for something that I feel is the right way, or I am resistant to what I know to be true internally, or I am in survival mode and this is all I know. And then I sprinkle some faith in there because after all, you know, God is here to help me, but I'm here to help myself kind of mentality, right? God will help me after I've helped myself, in other words. And although that sounds religious, you know, it sounds spiritual to a degree, I guess. It's really not the truth of the matter when it comes to living in the flow of the Spirit. So when adversity hits, depending on where we're at in that lifestyle, if you will, of non-resistant flow or resistance, depends on how much we'll let fear take over the show or take over the scene or the moment that we're going through, right? So resistance, we know, is coupled with survival mentality, which is fight, flight, and freeze. That's the blockage, if you will. It throws up a block to all that is already flowing in a natural state of being. Provision from the throne, peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, all good things that are coming to us and surrounding us at all times. Just look at creation. When it's in its element, trees and plants and shrubs and grass and all of the natural state of creation, there's a flow to it. There's a natural ebb and flow. Look at the waves of the ocean. There's ebbs and flows, and it's just a rhythm that happens harmoniously because God said, "Let there be light." He said, I've finished the creation and it is good. And that includes you and I. He said we were good first before anything was ever fallen. He said that we were a good creation, you and I. The problem with religion is that it focuses on the negative resistance of things. It focuses on the right versus wrong, the reward versus punishment. I've talked about this a lot in the past. It focuses and remains there. How many people do you know that are believers in Christ that actually keep their focus on the negative or the tragedies that are going on, the negative news and the warring mentality of, oh my gosh, we're always in a war. It's good versus evil. It's the devil's out to get us kind of thing. And so they're always in that resistant mode instead of letting things naturally flow through a surrendered state of oneness with the very one that gives the flow continuously. Remember, Jesus is love. And how easy is love? Love is effortless. When you apply pressure to it, when you apply your own understanding to it, when we take it out of its own element of purity and innocence, then it becomes difficult. I had a guy tell me not too long ago, I think I've mentioned this before, because I mentioned, you know, I threw something up on Facebook a while back, a quote that said something about effortless marriage or effortless relationships. I can't remember exact words, but it had to do with saying the word effortless. And he pipes back and he goes, listen, marriage is hard work. There's nothing effortless about marriage or relationships. And I said, well, that depends on your perspective and your paradigm and your understanding, your maturity level. Because if you're bucking up against what is naturally flowing without the resistance of having and wanting your own way, being argumentative and saying, no, it's my way, the highway mentality, or I want my way, then you're going to offer a blockage that says no to effortless flow. But when you live in an open capacity saying I am surrendered and my opinion really doesn't matter, my stance for what I want doesn't really matter in this relationship. I'm not fighting for what is right. If I just bend and flow and let go, then it is effortless. See, the problem with marriages and relationships and why they have issues is because we want our own way or we see it our way and we don't have any room for the flow of somebody else to express their non-resistance towards us. See, everything's in a non-resistant state. Keep remembering that, friends. When we're in the Spirit, if love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, long-suffering and self-control are the fruit of Holy Spirit maturing those elements in us, then they are all nutrient rich from abiding in the vine, John 15. So if they're nutrient rich, they're effortless. Where we get the blockage is when we start introducing conventional wisdom, conventional fruit versus organic fruit. Do you know what I'm saying? So something hits you out of the blue. Okay, we're talking about suffering and hardship and adversity. Maybe you were just challenged with an injury. A friend of ours just had a considerable injury while surfing, and as difficult as that may be, you know, you've got to sit and say, okay, did this happen for a reason? Not that I'm looking at it from a reward versus punishment scenario, or I'm reaping what I've sown, but from a standpoint of, okay, resistance versus non-resistance. And so if we're not offering an effortlessness in our soul as a lifestyle, then there's a resistance that can offer blockage or blowback towards us in the moment. Okay, you can call that what you want, but there's an energy surrounding that, friends. So maybe you just went through a difficult relationship, a challenge, or somebody betrayed you. Whatever it may be, and you're in shock mode right now. Maybe you lost a job, a career, a business. Everything just turned upside down, and you found yourself just numb, and you're like, whoa, what happened? I feel like I just got slapped upside the head 15 million times, and I'm paralyzed right now. I just don't know what to do. Those things, no doubt, are challenging, okay? And I'm not minimizing those at all. But when you look at it from a resistance versus non-resistance flow, in that the energy, we're made of energy, okay? We're made of material that it was birthed from energy. We're living and moving and having our being. Everything on the planet is made of energy, and then it becomes material substance. So when you think about it, the energy surrounding us can be negative resistance, or it can be non-resistant positivity and everything that is good. So when something happens, it's like the law of attraction magnetized itself to that energy or that state of being that we've been in, and it continues to surround us. Look at it this way. Do you ever meet somebody that just continuously trips or falls and has these accidents that surround them, or there's just always these things, these hardships that they're going through, and you're like, what in the world? And then they're just blaming the devil. The devil's after me. The devil is trying to kill me. The devil this, the devil that. Well, if you look at it from a pure energy standpoint of resistance versus non-resistance, you can see, because our spirit is energy, okay? You can see that, wait a minute, if I am of a certain frequency, then things are going to be attracted to me that maybe I do want or I don't want. And so it's super important that the emotions that we find ourselves in, that we actually become aware of what they are every moment of the day. It's not a hard thing once we form the habit of this. But if we're in a happy, joyful mode, then we offer an energy. Okay, guys, I'm not getting new age weird here. This is just reality. If we offer an energy that matches the joy, then it's like Teflon that causes the negative resistant forces of energy to slide right off or to stay away altogether. Okay. So the devil's been dealt with 2000 years ago. All right. He's had his teeth kicked in. He's been rendered powerless. But where we offer an opening is by offering resistance that puts up a sign that says, hey, you are welcome here because I am in survival mode. You are welcome here. I'm offering a sign that says open for business in my energy sphere that opens the door to have that negative energy, that dark energy, come waltzing right in and be sucked in through the vortex of that. Be drawn right in, because that is what it looks for. It looks for a match. So think about what's happening in your life. Have you just had tragedy after tragedy, or hardship or difficulty or challenge after challenge? Well, this is something to ask yourself. What energy or what frequency am I emitting? Am I in a state of mind that says, wait a minute, God's got this. He has it handled. I may trip up once in a while. I may not have it all accurate, all together, or all mature in the moment. But I'm offering a non-resistant flow, because everything flows downhill without force. It just naturally is. Then if I'm in that non-resistance, then what I'm doing is I'm drawing things in, unknowing that are good for my life. And this is where blessings come up and they overtake us. They come up and jump on top of us. The same goes for resistant negative energy. Okay. So when you look at it that way, it takes the spookiness out of it. It takes the weirdness and the wickedness out of it. You look at it like, okay, science has proven that everything is energy. Everything. Guys, if you're so religious that you think that is new agey and you're scared of it, then go into the science and ask God, God, is this science real? And common sense, if you read any science material or if you just went to science class, you would know that that is in fact true. And because it is, then you have to sit there and really observe and do your research and say, okay, like attracts like. Energy attracts the same type of energy, and it also attracts something opposite if I'm made of a positive substance of energy, because like attracts like. So if I'm in the posture of non-resistance, then I'm going to offer up to the entire cosmos, I'm going to offer up to God and everything else, a neon light that says, yes, blessings come. And guess what? I don't have to force. I don't have to beg. I don't have to create a formula. I don't have to do a transactionary exchange for saying, if I give $1,000 here in this offering, then I get $1,000 back. Well, guys, the problem with that is, like I've mentioned before, the issue with that is that creates a formula. And if that formula doesn't happen to work the next time, then I can get really upset that my effort did not work. See, what we're wanting to enter in here is an effortless flow, an effortless existence in everything that we do. Why? Because it matches the fruit of the Spirit. It matches God's nature. It matches Holy Spirit's nature. It matches Jesus's nature in us. Everything he does is effortless. You ever notice that? When he flung the cosmos and the planets and the stars into existence, it was effortless. All he did was speak, light be, let there be light. And then it burst millions of galaxies and is still bursting and birthing millions of galaxies, one after the other, every second of every moment of every day. They can't even keep up with how much is going on out there in the cosmos. So think about what it means to us eternal, our eternal beings here in the now. See, we live in the now, but we're also from eternity to eternity. We were in him before the foundation of the world. And so therefore, my existence has no end. We think it does on this side of the veil, where we're still in our body, our earth suit. And we think that, hey, I've got to get everything done. I got to get everything taken. I got to get my calling done. I got to hurry up and do it, because after all, I'm getting old. And if I don't get it done, then that's it. I'm going to stand before him and give an account for all the stuff. Listen, friends, it doesn't work that way. It works from eternity to eternity. You and I have eternity to learn. We have eternity to walk out our call or destiny or whatever you want to call it, right? We have eternity to walk these things out in relationship with eternity himself. So the beautiful part of this is that when you encounter various trials and challenges and difficulties, count it all joy. Joy is non-resistant. Joy is a downward flow that says, if I jump in the river of this thing, then the non-resistance is going to take me exactly where I am going, not only in the now, but where I'm headed. The resistance offered, on the other hand, is like a boulder or a log in a fast-moving river. If I turn around and I put up the resistance and buck against that raging flow in that raging river, then I can drown very easily. It can block things, and then tragedy can strike even further, right? But if you just put the oars in the rubber raft and you offer up non-resistance and say, I'm going to let trust take me where God wants to take me through that trust, and then you get the flow. And anybody knows this, if you've ever been whitewater rafting, you know that the current pretty much keeps you in the center of things when you don't resist it. It'll keep you going down the middle. You may have to adjust a little here and a little there, but that's what the leads and the promptings are for. It'll take you right down that river into the wide open spaces of the ocean eventually. And what happens in the ocean? Abundance. So, friends, if you've been hurting and you have a challenge or a difficulty, injury, a loss, a relationship just turned upside down, your calling or your dream, you think it's over with because you're now 60 years old, you're 30 years old, you're like, you feel like you're too old. Just remember that this thing goes on forever. So you get chance after chance after chance after chance. That doesn't stop. Where it's difficult and we make more trouble for ourselves than we should is when we start questioning through the reward versus punishment theology. We start questioning, like, did I make a wrong turn? Did I do something stupid? What did I do for this tragedy to come upon me? What did I do so wrong that this stuff keeps happening? And I keep seeing pain. There's nothing but pain around me and just loss and depression and oppression. If you keep questioning and saying those kind of things, you are in resistance. See, and it's okay. There's no condemnation for a time, but there's a time where you just get sick and tired of it, right? I mean, I have, and you just throw the oars away. You don't even put them in the boat anymore. You just throw them away and just say, okay, I'm just going to flow. I'm going to flow, and I'm going to choose to be joyful. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to count it all joy no matter what. And when I do that first, not after the trial's over with, but I do that first during the injury, during the loss, during the person walking away, the betrayal, in anything else that you feel is bad or difficult, I'm going to do that first. And what that's going to do is offer a non-resistance energy to burst out into the cosmos, and it's going to begin to draw all good things towards me. Remember, this is Matthew 6, if you think I'm being weird. This is Matthew 6. Seek first the non-resistant flow of the kingdom of God and his image, his identity, and all these things will be attracted to you because they see the non-resistant energy. Good things are non-resistant energy as well, and they will come into my sphere without me putting forth a finger of effort, without me putting or offering any self-striving or self-effort, strife, whatever you want to call it, without me offering any of that. It will come as a free gift. Freely you have received. Now freely give. You have received an eye open awakening to who you really are in love. And because that is a massively free gift of grace, you begin to see clearly that, whoa, this is non-resistant flow. This is effortless. And so because I now see it, It's coming my way fast and furious. It's coming my way, and now I can live a joyful, peaceful, restful, fun, adventurous life. I hope that's making sense to you. It's hard to come up with a language sometimes when it's something that God is actually birthing in all of us. Some of us just aren't aware of that. That's what's happening. This awakening that's already here. We're not waiting for another religious awakening. The awakening is here. Guys, I've said it so many times over the last few years that we're not waiting for something that happened 50 or 100 years ago. That stuff is over with. We're in a new dimension and a new reality of time in our own awakened state. God has birthed something in our mentality and our mindset that's not new, but it's new to us now because we're so used to what religion has programmed into us. So, I have never been more excited in my life as to what's happening right now. It is a difficult challenge sometimes. because I've been so programmed, just like y'all, to where you don't think that this could be literally, it couldn't be this good. It couldn't be so effortless and so beautiful and wonderful, because we actually have to work for something we believe. We have to do some kind of formula or transaction to get something. We have to give to get. And that is so foreign and so contrary to God's nature that we have built an entire religion around this very concept, around this very idea that says, wait, I need to do before he does. I need to actually apply my tithe or my money or my gift or my memorial offering or my calling. I have to do something in order to get something back. I've come to realize that when I posture myself in the atmosphere and the character of who he is and that effortless light persona that Christ is, when I actively operate in that by a choice of my will, what happens is that energy is offered out there beyond my skin. And then, you know, it's been proven scientifically that our spirit reaches out approximately 15 feet anyways in diameter around us, surrounds us. Think about how much more if we're actually joined with, or we're joining in with our spirit that's effortless from our soul and our flesh, the outer shell, if you will, in intertwined with that oneness of who he is and our spirit man. Imagine what we would emit, what we would throw out or cast out into the atmosphere when we choose joy, when we choose happiness, when we choose to live in peace, when we choose the fruit of the Spirit, regardless of what's happening to us. Yeah, and I know it's a challenge, guys. I know it's hard. How can you say that, John? I'm hurting. This is painful. I've been betrayed. Somebody died on me, or three people died, or, you know, my wife walked out after 30 years, or my husband, he's just acting crazy and he's sleeping with all, whatever it is. Yes, I know. And I'm acknowledging that. But when we acknowledge it, okay, we look at it right in the face, we acknowledge it, but then we have a choice. We have a decision to make. That choice and that decision is to either side and trust, knowing that this actually works, count it all joy, or it doesn't. What are our options, guys, really? I mean, yes, mourn the loss, okay? There is something healthy about that. There's something to be said about that, not only scientifically, but biblically, that we mourn a loss for 30 days or 60 days or whatever, however long that is. Okay. It could be 2 years. That's between you and God. But the idea is not to let it last a lifetime. Okay. That's too long. So why? Because other people are involved in your life. There is so many people that you affect and you touch without you even realizing it. Not only your immediate family, but all those around you and all those that you've touched over the years. You have more of an influence than you really know. So what that means is that when Jesus himself says, listen, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Consider it all joy. Count it all joy when you experience, or when trials come upon you to challenge you. Count it all joy, meaning that, wait a minute, I'm counting on joy to activate non-resistance in me to invite all good things, including my own deliverance. See, Jesus comes close to the joyful. But when we offer up a resistant flow of negativity and depression, oppression and anger and wrath and bad attitude, then Jesus waits. You ever notice that he's not going to sit there and argue with you, because that's not a part of the fruit of the Spirit, is being argumentative. It's not a portion of the fruit of the Spirit, and he fires in all 9 cylinders of the fruit of the Spirit all the time. And so when he does, and which is always, that means that he waits for non-resistance to send up a flare. And when that flare comes up in the air, then the lighthouse of that signal shows and reveals the city set on a hill that invites all things that are light and repels everything else that's resistant dark. Do you know what I'm saying? So, Jesus comes near to the brokenhearted, of course, because he's there to comfort you. Great, the Holy Spirit is the great comforter. However, there is a time when he will say, where is the non-resistance that you are made of? And not in a condemning way, but he will challenge us and say, you have it in you. You've got it. Let's do this. And then he's going to say, let non-resistance rise. Let the fruit rise. Let joy rise. Consider it all joy. Let joy rise so that joy can repel the resistance of darkness, can repel the resistance of those negative forces and those things that are trying to chip away at your life and take advantage of you, violate you. So we can choose. We have a choice, friends. We have a choice, and that choice is right here, right now, in the midst of your pain. Grieving, but joy. I'm being challenged right now, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping endures for the night. Weeping endures through a time and a moment and a season, a grieving, okay? But joy comes in the morning, meaning that his mercies are renewed every morning. His mercies are new every morning. So that means that, hey, we have a decision in the morning to choose. Am I going to let grief and grieving and hardship and survival mentality take over my life completely? Or am I going to let, yeah, I may struggle. I may have splashes of hurt and pain, but I'm going to let joy cultivate itself and rise in me, because joy is in us. It's not something we have to pull from the cosmos or outside of us to pull in. Joy is who we're made of. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit in us. Joy is in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy, right? So we're always in his presence. It's just our mind that alienates us from the reality of that joy in our awareness. So think about it this way, guys. Joy is the substance of non-resistance. So if you think about it this way, you are in complete joy and elation if you're not letting fear take you away from the adventure of the whitewater rafting trip. When you're in a whitewater raft and you've done all the safety precautions, meaning that you are thinking good thoughts, you're thinking upon these things, all right? And you do the natural safety precautions in the natural whitewater rafting. When you're in that raft, it is an absolute blast when you're not thinking about how you're going to die in about 10 minutes when you hit the rock underneath the rapids, right? But it's an absolute joy and elation when you're letting non-resistant flow. And that's when acceleration comes into the mix. See, when you let go and ride the waves, when you let go and ride that horse full gallop, when you let go and ride the wind as you're freebasing down the canyon in your squirrel suit. Not free, you know what I'm saying? Not freebasing drugs. Parachuting, jumping off a cliff. Okay, you get it, right? Just had to add that little caveat. So it's time to go with the flow. It's time to go with the flow. They see, for so long that saying has been like a bad term, right? Go with the flow. Just go with the flow, right? I have never seen it more important in my life than I have now, that saying, go with the flow, because it really is a non-resistance issue or a resistance situation or issue. And we can offer up surrender and letting go into that flow, trusting that God has it all taken care of, trusting that there's meaning in this pain, that there's something, meaning God didn't bring it, but there's something that this pain is offering to me right now that I have an instead that I can look forward to. And it's called non-resistance in offering joy to dispel that which is trying to come and vie for my soul and take me out. Guys, it's not worth the fight to be right. It's not worth the formulas trying to keep us in resistance to all that is good. And I tell you, this is the, quote, secret, if you will, to having abundance rush into our life. And it may not happen overnight, but it starts the trickle effect. And then it starts compounding. And then the more we stay in this design that we are designed by, then what happens is that things begin to become aware, like blessings and provision and people that have meant that were meant to give you things that were designed, they were withholding for some reason, they didn't even realize it. It begins to grab their awareness and their attention and say, oh, I remember that Billy Bob or Susie Q I was supposed to give this $1,000 to. I was supposed to open this door for. I was supposed to grant this business access to. I just remembered. See, when that happens, it means that you're offering non-resistance, but your resistance is keeping those doors closed. See, offering non-resistance by being in a joyful mode, no matter what's going on, and you practice that. I know it's hard, I told you, but when you practice that, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit will help you do it, because it's not impossible. In His presence is fullness of joy, so therefore it is possible. So when we cultivate that lifestyle of joy, what happens is things begin to awaken and remember to come and bless us. Okay. So I'm going to drop it right there. There's so much more to say about this, but that's just a little bit of a splash to hopefully help you in this season, in this moment of time. Much more to come. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and watching. And we will have some more. Joy, joy, joy. It is your strength.